We're on chapter 3, verse 18. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep reading if you're not. And if you are, keep reading. It'd be good for you to read over and over each of these chapters of Proverbs, because you'll glean more and more out of each time and get the setting of it. In these first few chapters, we're seeing some repeating of some common phrases. That's for emphasis, and God knows what He's doing by doing that. Going verse by verse, and we're in chapter 3, and this 2, 3, and 4, this second lesson. Now, we've seen already in chapter 3 that one is blessed. One needs to be aware of the things, rewards of wisdom. And remember, too, if you haven't noticed in chapter 3, the word God and Lord is multiple times, at least six times, okay, in the first half of it. And another four or five in the rest, doesn't it? So that capital L-O-R-D or Yahweh, God, is a great emphasis in chapter 3. And that a lot of the first half, we're going to get to start 17 and 18. But this first half is dealing that life and His goodness are gifts of the Lord, of Yahweh. And that's certainly a good place to start. Now, in we're on 18, and He started some images in 13. That 13, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And in favor of the man, and he gains his wisdom. And then he made a couple of comparisons in 14, 15. That here's fine gold and silver. And that it is more precious in 15 than great jewels. And nothing you desire compares with her wisdom. Long life at the right hand and riches and honor in the left hand. And in 17, her ways are pleasant ways and her paths are of peace. Wisdom is precious, more precious than anything. I've heard your son say that he loves God more than anyone, even more than parents. All right.
He tells me that several times a day.
And that's what the...
That's what he's into right now.
And I say, that's good. I'm glad you love God more than me. And so that's what he's saying here. Those things are much more precious than all that sort of thing. If we get that in our mind, priorities will change. And first of all, nothing you desire compares with it. We desire a lot of things. Nothing should compare with it. All right? There's no equivalence here. Nothing should compare with it. Now, then you'll have good paths and good pleasant ways at that point. Now, in 18, she, who personified wisdom here, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her paths. Have we seen tree of life before in the Bible? In Genesis 3, and I guess Revelation 22 or so. But there's some others scattered around in the Bible. But when you compare this tree of life, it conjures up image of Genesis, doesn't it, in creation? And what about tree of life? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. It's a blessing, isn't it, to have the tree of life. Okay? And we need to remember that, and that's the association here, because now we're going to flip into, and we're starting in 19, about something that kind of goes back to the idea of creation. Look at 19. The Lord, capital R-D, by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. Well, what's that bring in our mind? Creation, doesn't it? Okay? And wisdom He founded the earth. Understanding established the heavens. Knowledge. All those key words we go over and over, isn't it? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. So is this meant to what? Give us confidence in these words of wisdom, isn't it? Because if we've got a creator who in the beginning had an ordered creation, and everything had its place and did what it was supposed to do. Why not, when we get to Proverbs, can we not trust this Creator to what? Give us instruction in life, isn't it? Guidance in life. Okay. Because He's our Creator also back then. And He, as He takes care of the earth, He also takes care of present day too with the dew and rain and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of good things that He's trying to establish here that if he's created it, He can certainly sustain it and gives us the wisdom to do that. Now, 21. My son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. We've seen this before. These pleasant ways keep them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. What's sound wisdom? Clear thinking, maybe. All right. The idea that we need to... A lot of Proverbs deal with practical matters, everyday matters. In fact, most of it does. And how do we make judgments in this sort of thing? So here's this sound wisdom. And again, back to my son, 2 and 21. 22. So they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. This sound wisdom, don't depart from them. Keep them in your sight. And it'll be a life to your soul and adornment to your neck. What's the idea there? Adornment to your neck.
They'll never leave you.
Right, it's an honor. It's an honor, okay? And life, there's a lot of things in life too, we'll see that throughout. We look through Proverbs, that's a key word to look for. But this gives you some protection, okay, as you go through life. Now, another little transition here, some good figures we're going to see in 23 and 24. Then, if you're keeping this wisdom, then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. All right. When you walk, be secure. Your foot will not stumble. And thinking about this, back in those days when they traveled their paths, a lot of their paths, of course, they wore sandals, but they were rocky paths. They might have thorns and thistles and rushes and uneven and that sort of thing. And here's something as you go through life, all right, you'll walk it securely, your foot will not stumble. That's during the daytime, and at nighttime what happens? When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Security in life, contentment in life, we've used those words before. In other words, for a 24-hour cycle, wisdom helps. Well, wisdom will guide you. It'll let you live securely. Now, in 25, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. What's going on here? Don't be afraid.
Well, your confidence is in God, that no matter what happens, that He'll be there for you, or an accident happens, and you will go.
You're traveling that path during the daytime, or you're sleeping at night. Okay, trust in the Lord. All right, even when there's an onslaught of the wicked when it comes, trust and confidence are the key words there. All right, do not be afraid of sudden fear, for the Lord will be your confidence. Keep your foot from being caught. Again, back to the little figure of walking. Okay, now the next few verses, if you notice in your Bible, you're going to see some do nots. 27 and 28 and 29 and 30 and 31. See those do nots? I'm using New American Standard. All right? And it's going to go in some do nots now.
And 25 wouldn't be included in that?
Mm-hmm. Which one?
25.
Yes, but that's not in this section dealing with... It could be. This in this section dealing with neighbor. Okay? It's a different topic. Now, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. We'll see his neighbor coming up here. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is your power to do it. What's the idea? You have an opportunity to do good. Do you withhold it? Do you not do it? Why don't you? Your conscience is telling you to do it. God's training has told you to do good. But you hold it back, don't you? It's going to be a little bigger context here. But it's in your power to do it. You have the free will. Nothing's holding you back. Nothing in front of you, but you can do it. So you should do good to others. All right? So don't withhold it when it's due. 28. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Talk maybe goods here, aren't we? Okay? You've been in that situation. You're going to give something or go. You don't want to deal with them at that moment. You may have it and tomorrow I'll give it. You know? But you really have it to them. You're lying to them. All right, so that's how you should treat a neighbor. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back. Tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. But you did have it with you. Now, it expands more in 29, which is interesting. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives in security beside you. What's devising harm against your neighbor? Another word is the word plan, isn't it? You plan evil against your neighbor. Harm against your neighbor. Should we treat our neighbors this way? No. And this is now stepping up a little bit here. Before, you know, we kind of hold back. Then we tell our neighbor in 28, you know, yeah, do it. I'll do it. Even though you can do it then, you don't want to do it then. At 29, it's getting a little more intense. And what you really hear is it's even a greater wrong, I guess you'd say, that they're actually planning and doing harm to a neighbor. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives in security beside you. Lives in security beside you. Your neighbor next to you, do they fear that you'll come break into their house because of something you've done? No. Okay. But you may be plotting against them now in 30. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Contend is the idea of argue or hold back. And this could be in a legal case of some sort, but you're dealing with him falsely, maybe in a false charge. And if he has done you no harm, that means he's innocent. So it's basically false charges against your neighbor, your mate. It's a little more tense in it as we go through this. Let's see. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. Now, we saw the man of violence in chapter 1, didn't we? Okay, he wanted him to be violent. And the parental guidance there was don't listen to him. All right. Now, so the man of violence has come back again. Do not choose any of his ways. Now, 32. For the crooked man is an abomination of the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. How does God view this sort of reaction to a neighbor? Or this treatment of a neighbor? Abomination is a strong word, isn't it? Strong word. Even a lighter word said, well, God hates that action. Well, yeah, but abomination is even stronger. So this idea of dealing with one that is... up to this point, we've dealt with the idea of dealing with yourself and how you react to situations, that sort of thing. Don't listen to others, that sort of thing. Now, it's the idea that you have something of an influence to a neighbor, don't we? Sometimes called community. All right? But your actions and lack of actions, your plan to do evil against them, even though they're innocent, is an abomination to God. Okay, love thy neighbor. See? Okay? Strong point. All right. Let's see. And he is intimate with the upright. That's kind of the flip of that. Is it good to have the L-O-R-D intimate with you, close to you? Great love for you? Yes. Okay? Because of your actions not to do those. Do good your neighbor. Respond quickly to them. Don't devise plans against them. don't even take a man of violence and envy his actions. See, that's pleasant to God. That's good to God. Blessings. We can start off that deal, 13 blessings. Now, in the last three verses of chapter 3, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Abomination, curse, house of the wicked, blesses those who do right things. And 34 and 35, though he scoffs at the scoffers, he gives grace to the afflicted. And 35, the wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. And the bottom line here is God recognizes what the wise do and what the fools do. You can honor God when you honor your neighbor, but if you dishonor your neighbor, you're dishonoring God, aren't you? There's a conclusion to that. So there's a practical thing to bring out of Proverbs chapter 3 at a minimum. Not to mention reminding us that he's the creator of all, and that we, because again, the wisdom to do that, the wisdom to guide us in this life. All right, that's chapter 3. Now, again, try to get some issues out of each one that will benefit you in life or in a quiet life. All right? Any questions on 3? All right, good. And there's all kinds of words, you know, to keep and walk and, you know, seek and acquire. We're going to see a lot of words like that. And this will really get many more later on. When we start getting to a lot of specifics, you know, later chapters of Proverbs. And again, all these are instructions to the son, aren't they? So we see in chapter 4 that first 6 verses or so, we're going to listen to the experience of the father. And then there's going to be some things to gain in life in 7 through 22 of chapter 4. And that... how can you keep your heart? Heart is the last part of it. And we're going to see a good wife talked about, and this idea of how you walk or a clear path talked about in chapter 4. And the idea of a healthy body is a result of wisdom. Wisdom is like a good wife, a clear path, and a healthy body. Now, we're going to see something interesting in 4. How many times we saw the word God and L-O-R-D a lot. Chapter 3 didn't we? Guess what? There's none of that in chapter 4. Does that mean it's not there? That means it's inspired or doesn't have less emphasis? Never does it? Okay? Especially since it starts with the idea of son, I'm telling you something. Alright? Which is always in the other chapters. Now, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. That's a reset. We've heard that before, haven't we? All right? Of course, we've got plural sons here. And that may be, you may have a wider audience than just a father. But the instruction of a father, give attention that you may gain understanding. Sound teaching, which is sound doctrine, and do not abandon my instruction. Teaching, instructing, understanding, all those words. Give attention, and he gives it to him. Now, verse 3, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Now, I guess this is a grandfather, okay, giving some instruction. And you can take different things away from this.
Why do you say it sounds like a grandfather?
When I was a son to my father.
That could just mean when he was a child.
Verse 4 says, and he said to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the grandfather was giving me advice.
It's passed along wisdom. Kind of generational wisdom, I guess.
I don't see that.
I don't
see
that.
I was my father's son. How can that be a grandfather?
Yeah, I'm not seeing grandfather in there.
When I was a son to my father.
You are a son to your father.
No, from Solomon's father.
He doesn't.
That's
say
not
that.
What that says.
It's not.
No. I think he's talking about what he learned from his own father.
Yes. When he was a child, when he was a boy.
When I was a son to my father, tender and only son in the sight of my mother,
And he found out, think about it. She was going to be her favorite son, firstborn.
Yeah, but if Solomon's saying this, Solomon's saying that he taught me.
Okay,
he said
so
to me.
So who's Solomon's father? David.
Yes.
David taught Solomon.
Yes.
Oh. So where's the grandfather?
No, I was
confused too.
I'm confused now too.
No, I see what
your notes you have might be David.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
This is wisdom passed down.
This is wisdom passed down. Okay. And four, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Same idea again, but he taught me and said to me, hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. It's always a goal of Proverbs to live the right way. A prime goal, really. And we need to keep that in mind. Hold fast my words. Wisdom is taught. Still talking about parents. And number five, it says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Now, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. What does a parent do? They shouldn't forsake you. They guard over you. They love you and they watch over you. All right. He's kind of the idea here of saying that wisdom will do the same thing on it. All right. The association that he's making. Now, in number eight, prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. See, those are pride and embrace. Okay, the idea of parents. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. There's a reward if, in fact, you honor or you embrace her and prize her. And it's there, all these are symbols of honor. Garland of grace and crown of beauty. Now, there's a little transition in 10 about here. Or listen, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. Ways, paths, okay? And your years of your life will be many. If he's directed him in wisdom, and I have led you in upright paths, and this is the father saying this, then, in fact, there's experience maybe coming into play here. That I've lived this way too. And that's an example is always good, isn't it? Okay? We can say things, but to be the example to others, or children, or grandparents, okay? Grandchildren, right? And to others we come in contact with. We just saw in the last chapter, this is an example too of good to a neighbor too, isn't it? All right? Keep that as a practical into this. 12. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. Remember the word paths and walking and steps. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Whatever your pace in life, because I think that's the way it's taken there, if you're walking or running, remember that... wisdom is there for you and can guide you in that. Whatever pace you are in life. Sometimes we say that we are moving a faster pace these days than we did before. I guess that's the word multitasking in it. All right? You do a lot of things at once. Or some people call it more efficiency. But remember, even though you're in a hurry, remember the things to walk rightly. Okay, in justice. Now, let's see. Where was I? 13. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Take hold of instruction. Don't let go. Guard her, for she is your life. And 14. We're getting back some do nots here in verse 14 and 15. A lot of emphasis on do nots here. Do not, what? Enter the path of the wicked. paths that you've seen all through your walk, run, and paths. And when you live your daily life, don't enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on. There isn't in 14:50, and there's kind of six things to tell us that we're in the wrong crowd. Tell us to pass by. Don't go near it. Don't sample it. Stay away from it. So that's pretty strong. That's 14 and 15. All right. That's pretty compact. 16. A couple of reasons here. Four. If you do all that, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. Here's people who are so intent on evil that it really sustains them and makes them function. They can't sleep unless they do evil. It's almost like a prize to them. That's the way they look at doing evil to people. When they accomplish something, then they can have rest, I guess you'd say. Interesting, isn't it?
It's somebody just always wants to do evil. That's why you
know it. I don't have time to sit around and be evil that way.
But, I hope you can associate it. Let's just say greed and maneuvering ways in business to cheat people. Whether it's, say, your talk, you're working out certain ways to convince them to get something they don't want, or pay too much for something that's way overpriced. You practice that. See, they would
wake
do
up
it.
In the middle of the night thinking.
Yeah, there's an angle. There's an angle I can do on this, okay?
Can't sleep.
Yeah. And that's the same idea, that these people are so evil, that's what they do. And they are robbers unless they make someone stumble. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. 4 and 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They live off this. This is what they subsist on. Bread and wine are figures there for food. But this is just what they live for, to see what they can connive and cheat and hurt and violence.
Now, someone I think about whenever I listen to this, I think like maybe somebody like Muhammad back in the day. What was he thinking? You know? And now look at everything he's done.
Yeah, when you have false prophets, they figure that out, don't they? They know the angle to get people to follow them. They write down the certain things they need to do. They prey on people. Some are naive, some aren't. Time goes by, they establish themselves. Well, even you, the idea of enemies against the country. You know, they want to sacrifice themselves.
It's bigger than I guess he ever imagined it would be.
That's right. Interesting. Eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And wickedness goes along with violence here, doesn't it? We've seen that already. Warning against his son. Violence. Violence begets violence. And you'll die that way. 18. Interesting comparison here in 18 and 19. But the path, it's that path word again, okay? Walking and pathing and running. The path of the righteous light, the light, the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. We saw an admonition for a wise person. Remember, we had naive and the fool and the wise person. What did the wise person do in chapter 1? What did he want to do with wisdom? Gain more wisdom, didn't he? See, they wanted, that's what a wise person does, gain more wisdom. That's the idea of the light of the dawn. That is, as life proceeds, you know, you're going to acquire more wisdom. You're going to be increasing in that wisdom, brighter and brighter. All right? And aren't we encouraged to do that too? Grow in the Lord, mature in the Lord, aren't we? Always. Okay, always for us. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. But light and dark. What about these wicked? They like darkness. Why?
Because their deeds.
Their deeds. They feel secure in those, don't they? But they go so far that they even blind themselves. We saw that today. They'll seek their own blood, won't they, in chapter 1.
John 3 talks about how the evil lock the darkness because nobody can see what they're doing.
Yes. But even beyond that, they hurt themselves. And then they'll stumble. They'll blind themselves. Because they're so intense on what they do. They won't hurt violent. All right.
But also, when you compare 18 and 19, I see where 18, the righteous are secure, are stable. And then in 19, the wicked, they don't know their way. They're stumbling around.
One who has attuned themselves to learn what is right knows their action, don't they? They know. They know ahead of time. If you're wise, you know how to approach a situation. And where to seek wisdom, where the wicked don't, do they? So
they may not.
Yeah, they may or may not.
They're either doing it out of ignorance or
But they're certainly going down the right path, aren't they? The right road. And their road is well lit, isn't it? Okay? By the light. Okay?
Since we're comparing wickedness and righteousness here, Kayla had brought up something about it out of ignorance or intention. When it compares righteous with wicked, righteous are righteous for a purpose. Does it always mean that the wicked is an intentional sinner? Or just, you know, is it out of ignorance? Or
how would God view an unrighteous act or a wicked act?
Anything that was sin.
Yeah. That's God's view from that point to see how you got to that point. Okay? And what your intentions are to change. As long as you're living, you can change.
Well, a lot of these verses talk about your heart. And God knows your heart.
We're going to come up to that. Okay, there's a big deal coming up on heart. And knowing that heart. Wickedness is wickedness. Unrighteousness is unrighteousness. There's a bill to be paid on that. The extent of that deals on your heart. Okay? It's just like a very young person lies. Well, how does God view that? I'm just saying a 12-year-old, okay? Or a 62-year-old lies. How does God view both of those? As a lie. But He still looks at the heart, doesn't He?
He's going to look at it, I think He will look at it differently than He would a 3- and 4-year-old.
Yes.
While we are teaching them
yes.
the truth versus non-truth.
Number 20, my son, back to my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight, keep them in the midst of your what?
Heart.
Okay. If we're going to give attention and we're going to incline our ear to my sayings, back to words again, words and sayings, see it there? Okay, we're not just better felt and told and that sort of thing. That's what the words are for in Scripture. To incline our ear to them, to give attention to them. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The heart holds on to teaching. What does the heart do too? It's a motivator, isn't it? Doesn't it motivate us to incline our ear, to keep them, to seek them? And it's a character builder, I guess you'd say. All right? Keep them in the midst of your heart. Midst is center of your heart, isn't it? Not off to one side. Talk of priorities. Okay? And 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. If you put good in your heart, there's going to be a healthy aspect to it. I'm not going to spiritualize this. I'm going to say this is really the idea of health. Alright? I'm not going to say miraculous health.
Yeah.
Prayer is involved, sure. God's grace is involved, sure. But it's still better to live without knowing that violence is going to be inflicted on you any moment. That you're trying to figure a way to cheat people all the time. That you can't live in comfort and peace. And that's those things that when you live in a good life, health results from it, generally. Again, all problems are general anyway. 23. Interesting here, in these next few verses, we've just talked about the heart, and he's going to come back again and relate heart to the things you say. The things you say are a reflection of your heart. Okay? Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. All right? If we're going to live the way we should live, we want our lives and the flow from our hearts, if we're guarding with all diligence in 23, we want those springs of life to be pure springs. And out of pure springs comes a pure life. That's what we're after. And if we're doing the best we can, God will purify us to the point of salvation. Put away from a deceitful mouth. We're going to have three instances here: a mouth, eyes, and feet. In 24, 25, and 26. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Is devious speech... I mentioned a while ago, devious speech is what? You're concealing something, aren't you? Or you're adding to it. It's a lie one way or another, isn't it? All right. And far from you, 25. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. So we have mouth in 24. What about your eyes? Look straight ahead. Your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. That can be a lot of things. Things you see. Guard your eyes. Stay sober-minded. Keep those things away from your speech. You can do things with your eyes, can't you, without any words?
Blinders.
Yeah. And it's interesting here, too. Look directly ahead. Does that imply focus? Determination, doesn't it?
Right. Could that apply back to verse 12, when it was saying, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble, because you are doing.
That's exactly right. So much of this goes back and forth. And we're still using that idea of path, aren't we? See? And looking. Straight in front of you. See what happens in 27? Do not turn to the right or the left. This got a little play on the straight ahead too, doesn't it? Alright? If you're straight ahead, and you're in sports, like Kayla, if you're in sports, what do you do to prepare for a game? You think about something else before the game?
No.
Sure. Okay. Romo finally got that going this weekend. Alright? But the idea that all these teams come to bowl games and all these sports, the coach always wants them to focus, concentrate. Watch their health the night before the game in the morning. So it will be 100%. Study the playbooks. Okay, all those sort of things. So it's applicable to that. And here we are about good life, pleasing the L-O-R-D. And keep straight ahead on that path. All right? And 26, watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Feet, mouth, eyes, feet. Feet implies what? Got a path? Where you walk, where you do. Okay? You can say things, you can look at things, and you can put them in motion, catch it, and travel to them. Okay? It's action work. So guard those, be established, guard your path. And 27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Admonition's good. Don't turn to the right or left, whether it's sound doctrine or whatever it is. And keep straight ahead. Because what happens if you turn your foot to evil? It's hard to turn back, isn't it? And you're not moving that straight path anymore, are you? Okay? And the turn gets wider and wider, a little larger turn. So so here's the Father's instruction about the heart. You need to guard the heart, and that life's journey here is one that needs to have wisdom with it. All right, that's chapter 4. 2, 3, and 4. Now we go over our question for lesson 2. Anything? What are you going to take out of chapter 4?
Well, I want to just ask about verse 21 and 22.
Sure.
When I think about somebody keeping God's word close to their heart, I think they react, like if they get bad news about their health, they react different than somebody who doesn't have God as their center. You know, they face it better. Have you ever...
Because they know there's an afterlife, don't they?
Right.
Okay, they know there's security in an afterlife. That's exactly right.
So I would think that would apply to their health, you know, a healthy aspect.
Yes.
To look at it.
You know, soldiers, when they went to war, in religious wars, well, what was their... What happened? Did they care about their dead? Sure, they cared about it.
Yeah.
But they knew something, a greater cause, don't they? Especially when religious connected with it. All right? Whether it was the Crusades, okay? Or it was things that accomplished over in the Middle East. Yeah. See? And you can keep that in the midst of their heart, but the outcome will be quite different. All right. Okay, lesson number 2 of the questions. One shall understand... the fear of the Lord is what? 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, and 2-4. What's 2-1?
Give attention to instructions.
Yeah, that's right. Receive those sayings. Listen to those words. Treasure those commandments. Okay? Treasure the commandments. All right? 2-2. What's the idea there about to be what understand it what? I can get that. 2-2.
2-2.
It's 2.2. In lesson 2 covers chapters 2, 3, and 4. All right? And in B is, yeah, you give your ear the attention, incline your heart to understanding. Oops. All right. What about 2.3 in 1C? What do we say in there? How can you understand the fear of the Lord if what? Cry for discernment. Cry for it. All right? Yeah, I like to have it. No, this is cry for it. Yearn for it. Strive earnestly for it. 2.4. The idea, you want to fear the Lord if you do what? Seek her as silver, search for her as treasures. 2.4. Okay? And now all those things are saying what? Be earnest with it. Strive after it. Put it in number one priority. Think about it as silver and treasures and jewels among everything else. So we'll start with 2 next time and move along, okay? Thank you very much. Good, good, good. Try to take a lesson out of each chapter, these forms.